The following program is brought to you in living color.
Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to Land and Nation. You're listening also to Walnut Grove Cast. And I have on my co-host for Land and Nation, Kelly. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Talking about Little
House. Doing great. Well, the thing is black for me, by the way. The screen, the show's not on, just so you can.
Yes, so?
Fix it now, please.
You have to just snap your fingers a few times.
Do it.
How about now?
I can see it.
There you go.
I see the town. I see Walnut Grove.
Hey, look at that. I never really noticed. This would be a fun little spot to just sit. You know, like right here? This little stump.
So, I love the kind of view we get of the town in the opening credits because I think that Walnut Grove is such a comforting town, like even just the way that it looks. And I know a lot of people are very comforted by this show. And I think that like, I don't typically really get caught up in like stuff that's really like, you know, sentimental or, you know, things like that. But the show is, and a lot of people I know, you know, find it really to be a comfort show, but there is like something just so like serene and nice about the town. And even like the characters and their like relationships with each other, you know, like it is like really nice. And it's like, I know we like goof on it a lot and there are a lot of things to goof on.
Sure.
And there's a lot of tragedy and stuff too. But like, I don't know. It's just like, so idealistic, you know, that sometimes when I'm watching it, I'm like, can you imagine like living your life and like in such a way, like in such a place where it's like, it's just like amazing. Like, it's just like, so like the town is just so, even like when tragic stuff is going on, it's like there are heartwarming things happening. Someone has your back. Well, like people are growing and changing in a positive way a lot of times.
You know, like around like October when all the Christmas movies start popping up and like Hallmark movies and everything. And they're always in this like town, maybe in the middle of Vermont or Maine or, you know, like New Hampshire. And you're like, this is nice. My town was, you know, it's like you have three coffee shops, you know, like it's really nice, you know? And that's what it reminds me of. It's like the 1880s version of a really nice, cozy town. And we have towns like that here on Long Island. I don't live in one. Right. Mm-hmm. I live in a town where it's mostly synagogues and banks, but no joke. What are they building there? A synagogue. Oh, what are they building there? A bank. Like, how many banks do we need?
Well, so I feel like where we live, there are new car washes going up like left and right.
Nice.
And I'm like, how many car washes do we need? I mean, eventually, we don't need any more car washes, right? I mean, like, how many car washes do we need? Like, it's like, at what point are we, like, peak car wash? But I feel like in the last year or something, several times, at least, like, we've been, like, driving by something, and we're like, oh, what are they building there? And it's like, oh, it's a car wash. Oh, it's another car wash. How many car washes? We're gonna like, reach max capacity car washes pretty soon,
competing car washes. Hey, come over here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy to me.
I joined a car wash service where you can go and get your car washed unlimited.
Like you get like a membership or something.
Yeah, right? It's like $20 a month, which I think is extremely reasonable. And I just feel like if I'm out and about and I'm not getting my car washed, I'm wasting my money. But I think I'm going to cancel. I think I'm washing my car too much. I think you can overwash.
So we have washed our cars not so often.
Yeah, but I never used to.
More like on an as needed basis.
Right.
You know, like where it's like, oh, the car looks dirty, like we should wash it.
What color are your cars?
So we have a white one.
Mm-hmm, which never looks dirty.
And we have a red one.
Okay, the red one probably looks dirty.
And then we also have a black one, but the black one we're not driving right now.
Right.
But the black one actually, I think, looks the dirtiest. I mean, like, black gets like so dirty so fast.
Yeah, that's
so
what we have. My car's black.
So white cars actually, like, you would think that they get dirty really fast.
Yeah.
But in my experience with white cars, they actually stay clean looking a lot longer than you would think.
I had a white Subaru Outback. I never washed that thing. It always looked clean.
Yeah. And then like the black is like the worst. Like they like look dirty so fast.
My car is black, right? And it's, you see everything.
Yeah. No, it's like with the black car, it's like you just wash it and then like driving home from the car wash, like it already looks dirty.
Damn it! It's dusty.
Yeah, like,
yeah, I would never get into
this black time
car.
Of the year, which we're always like, we're not gonna talk about the time of the year while we're recording. But anyway, I don't know like what pollen is like up in your neck of the woods.
It's out of control. Not yet.
But like it already is like gathering on cars and stuff down here. Wow. Like it's like pretty bad. We just get a ton of pollen. So no, like, especially during pollen season, it's like you wash the car and then it's just like, what was the point? Cause then by the time you like get home, it's just covered in pollen.
Now I'm like, where I record is in my, like the top floor of my house, like an attic that's renovated. Right. And up here, like, as the temperature gets a little bit lower, I'll leave the windows open every once in a while. I'm like, ooh, nice fresh air. And then I'll forget. And then pollen will come. It'll be like, boom. And I come in here and everything's just covered in this green dust. And it's the worst thing ever. So I have to remember to close these windows.
I've had, kind of basically since Christmas, like this sort of like family, like, cycle of colds and some other sicknesses and stuff that's been going on. So it's like I've been sick numerous times. The kids get sick, I get sick. Like it's just like this cycle. And Pete's been sick a couple of times. Anyway, so like just had this like family cold once again. Just finally was getting over the family cold just in time for the pollen to come. And it's like, well, now I just have the allergies.
Oh my God.
So I'm just gonna be like constantly feeling, you know, like the whole like head stuff, like all that, you know, all the time.
I felt like complete poop like 3 weeks ago, and it took me out for like a good solid 2 weeks. Like,
I remember when you mentioned that. Yeah,
I was like, I'm dying.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy.
But you know what? In Walnut Grove, there is no pollen.
there's not, because Charles Ingalls keeps it at bay.
He punches the pollen. Get out of here, pollen. But yeah, what episode are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about Wave of the Future, which I'm actually very excited to talk about because I love this episode. And I know I say that about like all of them, which I do kind of love all of them. But this episode, I really love this type of episode. I love when the show does this sort of like silly comedy type stuff, which I know not everybody's into that, but like we talked about on Land and Nation, like Legend of Black Jake, which is another one of those episodes that's like, I think just kind of really silly, but I really like it like that. Years ago, Walnut Grove cast, we talked about the Older Brothers, which is kind of another one
the
of those.
Younger Brothers.
Or the, wait.
No, it's the Older Brothers, but
I was like,
younger.
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Yeah, like, and which is like kind of another one of those like silly kind of episodes, but I think it's just like really kind of like this really really funny like kind of satirical look at westerns, which I think is really funny. And this episode is kind of another thing like that, where it's just sort of like really funny, but also, and something that I kind of want to get into with this episode is that like it is kind of seemingly meaningless and kind of just really kind of like lighthearted, I guess, and funny.
Yeah,
but also like I think that it is a really interesting look at Harriet and kind of like the way that Harriet has like grown throughout the series. And even just like the way that she's acting in this about the whole thing, the way that she's acting, particularly with Caroline, I think is really interesting when you look at like their whole relationship from like the beginning of the series, which was like, they got off just like kind of on the wrong foot, right? A lot of animosity there. They were always having issues, basically, a lot of times surrounding egg prices, which, like, I don't know, probably feels really relevant now, right? arguing about egg prices.
Yeah, right. Something so petty.
and other things, right? Just, like, kind of always getting into various spats. But then when we get to when they're moving to Winoka, and then like when they go to say goodbye, the Ingalls say goodbye to the Olsons, then Harriet's all like, I don't even know why, but I'm going to miss you. Right, and then like they have like this nice moment and you're like, well, that's sort of like an interesting, surprising, like kind of moment of growth, which also is pretty close to the time too, when we see like when the blind school is moving and like when Harriet is like, doesn't want to be around like, you know, like the black child, but then she ends up kind of actually like kind of coming around and changing and even like sticking up for him and everything, you know, to Larrabee, our, you know, town bigot and everything. And actually has this really great line for what I think is actually sort of a lackluster episode. Blind Journey, I think, is sort of like an episode overall. But she does have that really great line where she's like, it doesn't matter what I said then, it matters what I say now. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just like the best. Like, I love that line. I love the sentiment behind it. Like, everything about it. I'm like, this is great. Yeah, what and I then we have her.
Go on.
Oh, but then we like kind of are like progressing, let's say, okay, like one season later, right? Like when the whole Caroline's restaurant thing is all happening. And, you know, Caroline doesn't really want to work for her. She takes Caroline on. She doesn't want to have the restaurant named after her, of course. Like, she calls Caroline a peasant, all that stuff. So even they have this working relationship. Which they've always had a business relationship to an extent with the eggs, but they have this kind of different working relationship now where Harriet's her boss, technically. But there's still kind of like this edge to it. But then we get to this episode where they seem to mutually care about each other in a way that.
Yeah, Caroline even says, I feel bad for her.
Yeah, so Caroline feels kind of this obligation to help Harriet that seems very genuine, like she cares about it, really. She feels bad for her. And then Harriet also seems to actually really care about Caroline. And that actually is even the more surprising thing, because I think the whole series, we've been fed this like narrative of like the Ingalls are always so caring about people and kind of like, you know, maybe even caring for people and helping them even when they don't deserve it.
So,
but we have Harriet, right, who is like actually seems very generous to Caroline in this episode, which I think is huge growth.
You know, one of the things I like about this episode is that it's within the Little House universe, of course, but it's also completely out of it. And I think that's what you were alluding to before. The episode doesn't matter, really. It doesn't follow any storyline that connects the rest of the series. And it's really a one-off, but it's one of the, they don't always do this well either.
Right. Yeah.
I would say Little House fails at this, spectacularly, several times, like the, even though I enjoy it, you know, for the love of Blanche, you know, it's a one-off. It makes no sense. It has no right being an episode.
It's like the craziest episode ever, and actually in some ways completely stupid, yet I still do like it, like in this weird way. Like, I still do like the episode, but it's like, what are you doing?
Another thing is, do you think that, and you know, this is getting into like the meat and potatoes of it, but so we see that Michael Landon will constantly go back to certain themes, right? Like addiction and adoption and but do you think like he was trying to say something about franchises of the 80s? I mean, because in the early 80s, I mean, we're talking about like big franchises starting to really take over things. Mm-hmm. Like McDonald's was huge. I mean, McDonald's is obviously still huge, but it was when it was really becoming huge and like chains like, you know, Burger King and Taco Bell. Like these were all, I think Taco Bell was big in 1980. I don't know for sure, but Do you think like this was his kind of take on contracts and getting stuck in it?
I mean, it could be, and it could also maybe be kind of maybe if we're kind of looking in the context of sort of this like idealized Walnut Grove, like we were just talking about. If you're sort of in this like kind of ideal world, and we know, like, you know, we sort of have this like idealized picture of the way that like the family and everything functions in Little House, that sort of like kind of like a mom and pop type thing, which like we'll say like the restaurant before it's a franchise is kind of like your mom and pop type thing, which I still don't understand why it's so busy in Walnut Grove.
Right.
I do not believe that many people are eating out all the time.
No.
But if it's like, you know, that sort of thing, and it's just sort of is like that nice, like, part of kind of being part of like this community is that you have like these community places that you go to that are owned by community people.
We get a little sexism in this episode as well. You know, and it gets kind of overlooked, I think, because of the episode was 1981, I want to say. I forget.
December 7th, 1981.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we've come a far way in the past 44 years, but I feel, well, 43, right? But it's, there are comments that are just made that I just feel like are just put out there, and it's the kind of crappy comments, like only men can do this, and you know, women.
Yeah.
And it's another, and that's a weird reversal, because it's like men are controlling the kitchen, you know, and it's supposed to be, you know,
women. Well, and it is kind of funny where it's like, yeah, it's like a woman's place is in the kitchen, except if it's what, for business, it, like, you know, becomes like a men's thing.
And Harriet is like this strong businesswoman. I mean, whether she fell into a contract that normally Harriet would not, right? Harriet would normally read the contract. She wouldn't be bullied into investing and jumping into this. So for her to like just sign the contract and not know what she was getting into is really not in line with her character. But of course, we need the episode, so.
Right. Well, and then, like, I kind of was getting into it before when I was kind of going through the whole, like, evolution of Harriet Olsen and then, you know, and Caroline working there, that, like, when Percival came to Walnut Grove and was doing kind of the business advising and then advised the whole Caroline's restaurant thing, even, like, that whole conversation, she was very kind of hesitant to go along with it. She was very skeptical of it. Like, she wasn't so eager to just, like, jump into something that would like impact the business like that. But then like here we have her just being like, oh yeah, great. Let's do it. Like, you know, like no questions asked. Like, yep. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So let's get into our first clip where, I don't know where we are actually. I don't know if they tell us where we are, but, we're at a photo shoot. And he's holding this piece of chocolate cake, and we get this little banter. The fun music.
I'm all ready. Where's the old lady?
How should I know? She said she'd be back in a minute.
Yeah, that was an hour ago.
Well, here she comes.
And she's wobbling up all drunk.
We were supposed to shoot the picture an hour ago.
Oh? Were you late?
Come on, let's go!
Come along. Stand right there.
It's kind of a visual thing, but she's walking up and she's waddling up, and clearly she's a bit sauced.
Drunk old lady, yeah.
And it's funny, they have like a fun little frustrating back and forth.
Push you.
You did push me. Say you're sorry.
Madam? All right, I'm sorry.
It's too late to be sorry.
Come on.
I'm trying. All right. Now you'll stand here holding this piece of Mrs. Sullivan's cake.
This is Mrs. Sullivan's cake?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to take the poor woman's cake. She's probably very hungry.
You're Mrs. Sullivan.
I am?
Yes.
Then why did you push me?
I give up. Let's shoot it.
She's like,
it could be a very different show. Let's shoot it.
Yeah.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
So she's going back and forth, and they want her to smile.
Cake.
She wants to, like, negotiate.
You're smiling.
I don't like chocolate cake. I like rhubarb.
So rhubarb is a thing. I thought they were saying babka, but and if you've never had babka, maybe have you had babka?
I don't think I have.
Gotta get a babka. If you have a Trader Joe's near you, they have pretty good.
There's a Seinfeld episode with it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The cinnamon babka.
Yeah. Or was it the chocolate babka? That
yeah, wanted? Maybe they were getting the chocolate
babka. Yeah, but then like the other person got like the last one.
So the good thing about a chocolate babka is you, if you get a good chocolate babka, they can't use their cutter for it because there's so much chocolate usually in them. And it's like amazing. It's like the most addictive thing in the world. So if you want to gain a few pounds, maybe pick up a chocolate babka. But yeah, any babka is really good. It's like a loaf, a cake loaf.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a rum, a rum baba. Which I think I've had. I mean, I looked it up and I see photos of it. It looks like rum cake, which I can go for right now.
You give me a nice smile. After the picture, I'll buy you a lovely rum baba.
You?
Yes.
Could I have it without the baba?
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
So they get their photo and they get her like sweet face. And she's the face of Mrs. Sullivan's Mrs. kitchen.
Yeah.
So let's see, we get into the restaurant. It's, you know,
which is extremely busy. And then I need to mention, because I mentioned it in our notes, but I just need to verbalize it. So I've been watching the show for a long time, right?
Uh-huh.
And Hester Sue, I only realized within the last year, like, months, right?
Mm-hmm.
That her name is hyphenated. That it's like Hester hyphen Sue.
I didn't realize it until maybe 6 months ago because I'm making more of those trading cards. So she has one that I'm putting together. And like I was like, hyphen.
Well, and I think maybe part of the problem is that like when she shows up like in the credits and stuff, there's like stuff in the background, right? Like the town or, you know, like the hill, like, you know, stuff like that. So like there's the hyphen is small enough that when there's the visual in the background, it doesn't really like stand out.
Yeah.
And I think actually I didn't even see it on the credits, but I saw it like somewhere online, like it was spelled with a hyphen and I was like, it has a hyphen. Like that's not right. Right. And then I like started to pay attention to it. And then in the credits, I was like, it has a hyphen. Like, yeah. How did I never see that before?
It's right up there with looking at the way you spell Olson. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Olson, a lot of people just spell it O-L-S-O-N, but it's there's an E in there. And it's like, it doesn't look right. But then you're like, oh, wait a minute. It's like a Mandela effect type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like it you totally misremember is. It in a certain way.
Coffee. All right.
So everybody, actually, by the way, Hester Sue is probably the like rudest waitress ever.
Right. Yeah. Like, she's just like, get out of my hair.
Yeah. So, all right. Whatever.
Hester Sue.
Yes.
Where's that pie? I've been waiting 10 minutes now.
Oh, Miss Taylor, I'm so sorry. I forgot it. I'm so pissed.
10 minutes?
Yes.
What are you waiting 10 minutes for?
Well, also, that guy is never satisfied at the restaurant.
No, he's always.
Like, I don't even know why he keeps coming back. Well, I mean, it's the only restaurant in town, right? But why are any of these people there all the time?
It makes really no sense. They're a blue collar town, right? They're a town of farmers.
And it's, we've talked about this on Dr. Quincast numerous times, like with Grace's Cafe. Like, it just makes no sense that this.
But at least they're not farmers in Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Well, and at least in Colorado Springs too, like at Grace's Cafe. It does seem to be just also sort of like functioning as sort of like a community gathering spot where like people are like going there to like kind of meet up with each other to like discuss things or, you know, like town planning type things go on at the cafe. But like here it's not, it's like these people are just going there to eat is like how it's always portrayed. We don't see people like meeting up there. We don't see them like sitting around and really like talking about things. They're there to eat.
Yeah. You know, Walnut Grove is, you know, when you watch the show, it's kind of an in-between spot to, you know, on your way somewhere. Like they have a rooming house, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, where are you on your way to? Like, there's nowhere, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It really doesn't make sense. Like, why are you like, it doesn't make sense.
No. But I think this is a grinder. I always love this thing. I love all of this kind of stuff. But it's huge. I think it's a meat grinder.
Fine, I have two more orders for breaded whitefish.
Well, we're all out of whitefish. I cooked the last batch 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no. Caroline, it's nights like this. I wish I was somewhere else.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Caroline,
it's not great.
Fish, I cooked the last batch 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Like, what do you care? You just have to tell them you're not going to get it.
I love it. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Caroline, it's not like this.
I'm surprised we can get a lordy.
We need the oh, no clip. That's awesome.
That is
oh,
funny.
No. Last batch 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It could be like that one clip that we have from Bonanza. He's like, that's the most, he's like, that's terrible, whatever. That's terrible.
Let me see if I can find that really quickly. Like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, no. Well, I have Caroline saying
that's the worst thing I've ever heard. But there's that thing with Ben Cartwright saying, like, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know what you mean.
I'll find it.
There's the order of roast beef. Thanks. Hester Sue. Mr. Taylor's pie. Oh, Hester Sue. I want you to meet Major Guffey. This is Hester Sue Terhune, one of my employees.
Yeah, we took a few weeks off, and now I can't find any of my clips.
Yeah, I know. I started getting back into it, right?
But I do have this.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Like it.
So, all right. So he, is it Colonel Guffey or Captain Guffey?
Major Guffey.
Colonel Guffey. Major Guffey comes in with Harriet. They want to have a seat, and Harriet's so like impressed. He looks pretty excited to sit down in this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a little bit of a scammer, and I think that would have been an interesting way to go with this entire thing. Like, if the whole franchise thing was a big scam.
Thing was totally a scam, and you could kind of see that.
Mm-hmm. And it was, in some ways, I guess. That's premium seating, by the way. Like, got the corner, mm-hmm. window. This guy.
There you are, Ernie. Your one customer gives me any problem.
Well, your food's the best, Hester Sue.
Thank you.
He's like, your food's the best.
Well, Caroline's the one who cooked it.
Exactly. And here's Harriet just, like, treating people like crap.
Hester Sue, we're ready to order.
I'll be right there.
Hester Sue, is that my pie?
Mr. Taylor, I'm so sorry it took so long.
I know we say we don't talk about the weather and all that kind of stuff, and we go against this the more we think about it. But today's Pi Day.
Oh, right, it is. Yeah. Which, by the way, this guy, what is this? Who's this woman?
Yeah, I don't know. She's,
because we normally see him by himself. So it's like, is he married?
It's his first date, and it's like,
yeah,
last date.
Yeah.
Don't go on your first date and start screaming about, like, that you're waiting 10 minutes for your pie.
Wearing this floppy bonnet indoors.
Yeah, right?
What is that?
She looks like a deer. Look how mad he is, too. He's like,
yeah,
I'm not leaving a penny as a tip.
Not going to wait another second for that tea.
You may know, like, when did tipping become a thing? Like, they didn't tip in the 19th century, but did they?
Also, what is it with this, like, lady? Is she, like...
She's, like, the voice. Grandmother from, like, the Little Red Robin Hood.
What is this?
Why, such big teeth you have.
Yeah.
Hester Sue, we're ready to order.
All right.
More coffee, Hester Sue?
Who are these people that she's with? Where are her twins?
Well, yeah, I don't know, right? What is with the twins? It's like, we didn't even know that she had kids, and suddenly she's married with twins. What is that?
And I have to say, this might be the same guy, actually, the one who was yelling.
Mm.
I don't know why I think that it might be, but I think this is the only episode that I can think of where the food, I mean, not this food, this food looks horrible, but later on when they're showing, like, the Mrs. The Wave of the Future food, it looks pretty good, I think.
Right, yeah.
But this stuff, this is looks like hash browns or something. I don't know.
So,
By the way, I don't know if I'm just like fiending for it, but it's like, I would love to have diner coffee right now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know,
like
what I mean,
bottom,
right?
Like the bottomless cup. Yeah,
like of, IHOP yeah. coffee or something.
Yeah, I totally. So that stuff totally hits differently.
Oh, man.
It does. Yeah. Like, I can't even really put it into words, like the essence of it, but yeah. It totally hits differently.
Yeah. It's, I'm not going to go down too far of a departure here, but we, I was at this like country club, and I don't go to a country club, but the election was going on in the country club and I was working the election. So, and the people who worked there said, hey, if you want coffee, just go into the kitchen and, you know, help yourself. And the coffee they had was the best coffee I've ever had in my entire life. And it's like a rich person's mm-hmm. country club. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I'm like, holy cow. Like, it to people who know Curb Your Enthusiasm, where I think you'll know Curb Your Enthusiasm soon. There's an episode where he's talking about finding the best coffee beans and stuff like that. And it's exactly that. And
yeah.
So yeah.
Like for
but
it.
I would say that diner coffee is just as good or bad as that coffee I had at the country club. It's good. All right. She just comes and screams.
Like nobody out there can hear it. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Plaster walls can't hear it. And Caroline's like, oh, ha ha ha. There's only two people that work here. So they have to do everything. Think about that. You know, bust the tables and clean them when the people leave and collect money.
And then wash the dishes, I guess. And
yeah, right? It's a lot of work. I didn't even think mm-hmm. of that. So we have Major Guffey basically pitching his deal to Harriet and Nels. He's really animated and he makes a lot of promises.
You saw me travel the
army. Oh my God, I keep doing this. I'm sorry.
You see, an army travels on its stomach, and I fed the army. Quartermaster Corps. 30 years. Oh my. I had to feed South.
Nels is so not impressed.
He's like, this guy is showboating.
Thousands of troops at a time. Couldn't afford a slipshod operation. Efficiency, that is the key word.
Aha! Uh-huh. Efficiency.
You have
to what would stuff. Actually be really funny, like they could have even made some of this stuff a little bit funnier, I think. So like this guy this whole time, like he's all like using like these like, you know, military
like metaphors, like
metaphors yeah. and stuff, and how he's like, oh, an army like, you know, can't win an empty stomach, blah blah blah. It would be hilarious if like he is just like beating this drum the whole time. And then at the end of the episode, it's like casually revealed that like he was a quartermaster for like the Confederate Army or something.
Right.
I mean, like it would just be really funny, like that he's been beating that drum the whole time. And like, but then it's like, it turns out that he did it for like, you know, the side that lost the war or something like that. Like little things like that, actually, I think could have even like.
Quartermaster keeps us organized.
Could have like, you know, like really like. Bumped up like the comedy, I think. Like,
and he sounds like, British to me or English, you know, like
isn't the what is the actor though, like it, where Laurie Mayne, right? Like he's Australian.
Same thing. I'm just kidding. Well, they are UK ruled, right? Australia.
I think so.
Yeah, they observe the king and queen and stuff. We need Lydia to pop on and fact check that.
Yeah.
Which king are you going to vote for?
Do you consider yourself British?
British or Australian? Or New Zealand? Let's see. So Major Guffey is going to present the contract to Harriet.
Sign this contract. A mere formality would require it.
Don't jump into anything.
Why? The answer to our prayers.
I think we should talk about.
Look at his face, the Guffey's face. He's like, oh, don't think about it, just do it.
Yeah.
About it.
Nonsense. It's my restaurant.
Mrs. Olsen, take your time. I'm on a swing north. I'll be back in 3 or 4 days. You talk it over.
I'll be back.
Back in 3 or 4 days.
Take your time. 2 or 3 days.
And I'll stop by then. There's no doubt in my mind about your decision. A good product sells itself.
It'd be kind of funny, too, if he kind of, like, gave the stink eye to Nels or something.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, the woman wears the pants in the relationship. It is 1881, you know. It is the 80s. That would have been a funny line. All right. So that's kind of fun. I mean, I like Nancy. What do you think of Nancy?
I think that she... I don't like her, but sometimes there are some funny scenes with her.
I think she's funny in this scene.
I think that they went a little overboard with making her, like, a little too psychotic. I mean, because, like, she's kind of like the new Nelly, right? Like, she's like the Nelly replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just, like...
She is a cartoon.
A little too out there, yeah.
Nels, for heaven's sake, we should have signed it tonight. You're just causing a delay.
You read the contract.
No, I haven't read the contract. It's just a mere formality. That's what Major Guffey said.
This is basically me now playing piano.
Yeah.
The thing smells funny to me.
Nancy, must you bang on that piano?
I just think it's funny she's looking at him crying.
Yeah, like as she's just like basically pawing at the keys.
Right, just, there's no thought, there's no no sheet music in front of her.
I mean, so I actually do think, like, while I don't really like love the character so much, actually, like the actress, I think for like a child actress, like she's doing it pretty well. Like stuff like this, where she's just sort of like looking at him, like crying and just like kind of like slamming, you know, at the keys and stuff. It's pretty funny.
Well, tell her not to play like that.
You hate me. Oh, see what you've done. No, darling, he doesn't hate you. Now just play. Oh, honey, it's lovely.
This is that scene where she's like, I'm going to go kill myself. And then they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Something you couldn't do in today's television.
He does it every day.
We'll see if it ever happens. So they're just fighting about it. Harriet's just adamant about signing it, and she does sign it. It's like, it's not that big of a surprise, and now they're close for remodeling. Where's everyone going to go?
Yeah, where's everybody eating? Because not there, apparently, today.
Now, at this point, it does say Caroline's on both windows, and... All right. It's just so weird that it's Caroline's, but the sign says Nellie's. So confusing.
Yeah, it is really weird.
Did this guy turn around? No.
No, I said...
Yeah,
they're passing each other there. He's like, holy cow, does that say Caroline's above windows? He, like, turns around to look.
Yeah. All right, so this looks terrible. Like, they bring in these, like, these tables that... I think this is terrible. It doesn't even make sense. Like, it just looks... They look rickety and...
What this actually kind of reminds me of, and Pete and I had just mentioned this, I don't know, a few days ago, we were talking about this, that there was this restaurant here that we actually really, really liked. Like, I mean, we'd go there like from time to time, and it was just really great, had really great food. It's in this like cool historic building and everything, and then it ends up closing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a brewery bought it, Lagunitas, which you've perhaps heard of, because they're like, a bigger-ish one. You know, like, you can buy it in stores and stuff.
What is it called?
Lagunitas.
Hmm. Sounds really familiar.
And they're from, like, California, I think. And, like, you can buy it here, like, pretty much everywhere. So I'm assuming you probably can buy it up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're, like, kind of a, you know what I mean? Like, craft brewery, but, like, one of the bigger-ish
with
ones,
with some
right?
money behind it. Yeah, like, they have a plan.
So anyway, so they actually... started a, you know, brewery there. Okay, so the restaurant, which was just always, like, just really cool, really nice inside this beautiful, like, historic building. They, when they took it over, filled it up with picnic tables. Like, okay, and it actually kind of reminds me of this. Like, it basically was this, right?
Yeah.
They fill it up with, like, picnic tables, and they had, like, a food menu, which was just, like, crap basically, which it's like, okay, what can you really like expect from like, okay, brewery food? Well, I mean, it kind of seems like they're sort of like trying to get a little more upscale with things like that these days. Yeah. But like, even with like not really expecting much, like, it was kind of just like, it wasn't great, right? Anyway, it didn't even last there that long, but not even really because of that, but because the building had like structural problems. So they ended up leaving. But we're just like, we went there like a couple of times and we're just like, they like, this sucks. Like, it's just like this like really great historic building. And they just filled it with like picnic tables. And it's just like it totally sucks. Like, it just doesn't fit. We don't like it.
I had a similar experience, but I was a lot more. So in Long Beach, there's always like restaurants opening and closing in the city of Long Beach. It's like, I call it a city, but it's a tiny little town, but it's technically a city. And they had this German restaurant open up and they did something similar, except they were really long, like things. And I'm talking like the picnic tables were like 20 feet long. And, but the benches were two that you're supposed to sit on. And I left, you know, I was there with Betsy and we were supposed to meet a friend. I'm like, they don't have chairs. Like, what is this? This doesn't make any sense to me. And I said it to, and I was like, let's just go somewhere else. And I was leaving and the guy who was, is it everything all right? And I'm like, you guys don't have chairs. Like, it's kind of weird. And he just looked at me kind of like he kind of understood, but at the same time didn't want me, you know, didn't want us all to leave, but.
Right. Just, yeah.
Like, what is that? I'm going to pull like this thing weighs like 600 pounds.
No, I know. Yeah. I kind of hate stuff like that.
Just give me a J.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I actually, would say I don't really even have standards that are that high for stuff like that. Right. Like, I'm not actually like that super picky when it comes to like, you know, going places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when I just like do stuff like this, where it's like, this concept is just dumb.
And
like,
this was a pricey place too. So that was another aspect of it. I'm like, I don't want to sit on a bench for a premium. Is that your dog?
Yeah, that's Harriet.
I heard that.
She's like, oh, yeah, I hate it when I can't sit on a chair.
But yeah, like, you know, it's, I think things like this are really important, you know, like you want to go when you're spending money, you want to be somewhat comfortable, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you guys, I think down near you, you have a little bit more respect for the customer, like your restaurant. And up here, it's kind of like, you know, screw you. You only left 25% tip. It's like, go to hell. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Just by cutting down on the size of the tables and turning them crosswise.
Look at this like weird fake outside. I think it's
that is
fake.
Really funny.
You have increased your seating capacity by 22%.
Major, perhaps you've increased...
22%.
This guy's voice is crazy.
Look at how annoyed Harriet is that she is a customer.
Oh, good morning, Ms. Foster.
When will you be open again?
We'll be open in a couple of days, dear. Do come back.
Oh, I will.
Yes, I know.
I know. I wouldn't like that. That's how they treat me here in New York.
Yeah.
All right, so we get the only scene with Almanzo. No Laura, you know. And is he making these stools, you know?
I actually have always kind of wondered that.
Like, did he get Charles?
Is he making them or is he just like delivering them for some reason?
Because I don't think Charles would be our guy for, you know, stools. They're not even stained.
He's a school guy.
You know, somebody has these stools in their house, right? Like somebody's like in their kitchen, it's just sitting there all beaten up. 40-year-old stool.
Chairs are ready.
Like we could make duplicates of this easily and just sell them at an auction and make a lot of money. Yeah.
The kissing stool.
You in? Yeah, we're gonna do the kissing stool.
Oh, what adorable little chairs. Where at the back?
What is it made of? Like balsa wood or something? She's holding it with one hand with no
effort. It's just like one super lightweight.
Like, is it like the kind like they use in movies to smash over people's heads or something?
Yeah.
It's one of our secrets.
Secrets?
Well, you don't want people to get too comfortable. Just sit around the tables, do we?
No. No.
Well, the more turnover, the more business. The more business, the more profits.
Can Almanzo get a little closer in the whole, like, space?
He looks kind of weird, actually, there. It almost doesn't even look like him.
You know what he's thinking right there? He's like, I wonder if I should grow chops.
Yeah.
I wonder what I'd look like with a mustache.
I wonder if Beth would still love me if I were bald.
Oh, your thing vanished. I'll fix it. If I was bald.
Oh, what an interesting idea.
I'll get the rest of them.
Oh, thank you, Almanzo.
That was funny.
Where do you want these, Major Guffy?
Oh, the accessories.
So it's funny that we get the little bit of, like, her screwing up his name very briefly.
And it's funny that they keep that as a running joke.
Yeah, I wish they added it more often. And kind of drop it at some point.
For a show that's not particularly known for its continuity, right. It actually is pretty funny that they keep up with some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So they bring in supplies and they find out that they actually have to purchase all of these things. It's like when you get a franchise at Subway.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, I guess, buy all like the stuff that Subway sells, like ingredients.
Well, which was a hard lesson we had to learn with that toy that you sent us.
Wait, what?
The Subway toy. Remember the Subway toy? So yeah, it was a hard lesson we had to learn. Yeah, where it's
you're
like,
a franchisee now.
You're like assembling the toy, and then you're just like going through the instruction booklet, and then it's just like, oh no, I have to buy this.
Then you have to buy the oven that attaches.
Yeah,
you have a bread oven in your kitchen now.
Yeah.
Napkins, plates, flatware, glasses.
We didn't order all that stuff.
And I would say that that is a solid Kelly Green.
It is, right? Yeah.
Which is Kelly Green. I personally like Kelly Green, but, I think if it was darker, it would be Emerald Green. But
yeah, Emerald, I think, has a little, like,
blue, maybe?
Touch of blue, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think, I feel like I've seen Harriet in this color.
She has a green dress.
Yeah.
Actually is, I think, one of my favorite dresses that she has.
Yeah, green. I like green a lot. And this is not, for me, not the worst thing. Now, yellow on green, that's terrible.
A regular issue now is all the troops use the same supplies. Eliminate squabbling in the ranks.
Now, this is another thing that's kind of strange, is he refers to the troops, right? But it's sometimes... Mm-hmm. Sometimes the customer is the troop, and sometimes the franchisee is
It's weird.
Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense.
Which I guess, like, from his perspective, like, with the army, like, everybody is the troop. Or, you know, like, maybe that's just what he's used to, but it's weird.
This color green! I hate this color green!
But best of all, because we buy
Even though I have a dress in this color green!
Right. That Nels bought me, and I have to wear once a year.
Items in such huge quantity, you only have to pay just a little above cost.
We have to buy this stuff?
I'm afraid it's laid out right here.
Well, why would you think you don't? Like, there's a lot of stuff here. It's like, no, we're just going to give it all to you for free, and you'll be able to use our brand. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Article 4, paragraph 3 of your contract... Yes, right.
We later do, I think, both kind of think that it sounds a little bit like an MLM.
Yeah.
Which we'll, I guess, expound on when we get there. But this actually, even at this point, kind of is a lot like that because, you know, like with the way that MLMs start when they like recruit people, then it's like you have to buy the starter kit and then.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of having MLM vibes already.
Yeah, MLM, and then I guess it all has that element, that pyramid scheme element of an MLM, because he describes a pyramid scheme perfectly later.
Right.
And all items necessary to the maintenance and operation of the signatures institution will be purchased from the parent organization, etc., etc.
etc., etc. So, all right, so they're in... For more money than they thought. There's a new sign.
Isn't that something? I designed it myself.
Major Looks Guffy. Like
Charlotte.
This is the worst sign I've ever seen. Nels is like,
this is a serious message to everybody watching my update.
Ringo Starr.
Every time I unveil one of these, I get a thrill. I know this must be a proud moment for you, Mrs. Olsen.
She's just disgusted.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, yes. But it wasn't in my understanding that we were going to change the name of the restaurant. It's called Caroline's, and I think we should probably consult with her.
I wonder how franchising, I don't know when it started. Like, I wonder what was, like, you had things like Woolworths and stores like, you know, like department stores that were kind of chains. But I wonder, like, what were the very first ones? I'm going
to
ask.
Well, so according to my cursory Google search, the first restaurant franchise is widely considered to be White Castle, which began franchising in 1921.
You know, I have a White Castle, about 5 minutes from my house. And it's been in the same exact location since 1921, I think.
Wow. And well, that apparently is the year that the franchising started.
I wonder if it can't be the first one. But, I mean, I guess it could be, but I don't think it is. Do you have White Castles down there? You have Crystal, probably.
Yeah, we have Crystal. Oh, so, like, this... So, I haven't... Actually, not even, like... I don't think we have a Crystal, like, in our city or, like, in our area or whatever, but... We, several years ago, evacuated for a hurricane, actually to Florida, which is weird because normally it doesn't really go that way. But the storm's path, we ended up going to Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And we're on the way back, and we're, like, in Georgia somewhere. And we're like, oh, we just need to eat. So we, like, see this Crystal Burger thing there. And it was, I don't even remember exactly like what happened, but it was just like the worst experience because like, I'm in the car cause we have the pets with and everything. So I'm like sitting in the car with the pets and Pete goes in and he's gone forever. Like, I'm just like, has it been an hour? Like, what is going on?
Right.
And then like, he comes back out and it's like someone before him had ordered just like a whole bunch of burgers or something.
Of 600.
And they are like cooking them one at a time. Like, I mean, it was just like, it was crazy. Like, the guy was just sitting there, like, doing like one, like, individually cooking.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't know. Like, it was just like insane and it took forever. Right. And then, like, there was more to it also. Like, I think there was some really terrible customer service and stuff going on. But, like, it was just like this overall. So, anytime that we see one, we're like, oh, we don't like it because of like that experience, you know, like it's what we think of.
But I think it was opened in 1930, actually, the one near me. And there's this great photo where, because we have the elevated Long Island Railroad, but back then it wasn't elevated, and they have this like old school locomotive, the kind that would be on Little House, pushing snow in the background, and you see like the where the White Castle currently is. It's kind of a cool historical photo where you could be like, hey, this is the, you know, then and this is now, and it lines up. But White Castle's kind of disgusting. I mean, yeah, you can eat it once every 2 years.
Yeah. We don't have White Castles here, but I've had it because, we used to live, you know, in a White Castle area. So, like, had it there. More recently, like in Las Vegas, they have one. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we've been to Vegas, you know, we've had it there and everything.
Yeah, they have everything in Vegas. They've In and Out.
They do.
They have everything.
So according to this one thing, though, because it said White Castle is the oldest at 1921. So then I'm reading this article that's like the country's oldest restaurant chains. And it says A&W is like 1919.
The root beer company.
Yeah. And then White Castle's 21. We have Dairy Queen, 1940.
What about
Dunkin'
Donuts?
This is 1948. In and Out is 1948.
Wow.
Jack in the Box, 1951. KFC, 1952. Denny's, 1953. Sonic, 1953.
I love Denny's, by the way. Denny's is right up there with IHOP, in my opinion.
Yeah. McDonald's is 55. Waffle House, which would be like the big one in my area. Like, you cannot.
Yeah.
Like, spit in any direction without hitting a Waffle House. 55.
You know,
IHOP is 50. 1998.
They opened a Waffle House here on Long Island like 15 years ago, and it went out of business. Nobody went to it.
Oh, really? That's crazy, because they're like, they're everywhere here, and they're always like...
It's just weird. Long Island, like, if we get something, we destroy it. Like, we're like, yeah, we're not going to that. It's like, oh, boy.
Pizza Hut was 58, Domino's was 60, and then TGI Fridays is 1965.
Really? That's surprising. Yeah. I would think of TGI Fridays as like a 1980s or 90s thing.
I didn't realize it was that old. That is kind of surprising.
Yeah. I wonder how old those potato skin things, bites are.
Apparently, it started as a singles bar with special ladies' night.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, man,
the founder of TGI Fridays was living in New York City when he realized it was hard to meet people since most bars were filled with couples. He started Fridays as a singles bar with special ladies' nights.
Wait, it says here it was originally called Mrs. Sullivan's. No.
Rumbaba kind of fits in with that whole thing, right?
Yeah. Isn't there a disco song called Rumbaba? There's not. I'm just kidding. All right, so he's giving the pitch, like, you're going to make a crap ton of money and visualize this.
He forces one foot in front of the other, shivering in the cold, lonely in the darkness.
Is that a laughing child I hear? Harry, Harrison.
He's like, that's hilarious.
He's looking at those chops. He's picturing daddy growing chops.
Yeah.
and then, what does he
say? Look how far his hair grows, like all the way up here. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Now, his eyebrows are really manicured.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which is like opposite rare of what we normally get on this show.
See in the distance, like a beacon in the night. What does he see? Mrs. Sullivan's kitchen.
All right, so let's get on with this a little bit. So Nels is like, this is a load of crap. let's see. You mentioned the notes that it is kind of nice where she wants to consult with Caroline before changing the name. But I think she thinks everything is moving too quickly.
Yeah, well, so that's kind of the thing, which I was thinking that at first, like, she actually is like, oh, we should talk to her. But then also, like, it could have been her way. Yeah. To kind of like have an out on the whole thing. But anyway, it actually is sort of interesting, even in that light, that she really is. We don't see Mrs. Olson a lot kind of being so, like, I don't know, kind of caught off guard with things and kind of being really like, okay, my dogs are being crazy.
All right.
They're like, I don't even know.
They heard about White Castle and they're like, oh,
yeah,
it's
White
Castle.
Like, give us a burger.
I have no idea why they're turning them all crazy.
I can always like tell when they're about to do that. Like, I hear the scrambling of paws and I'm like, oh, great, here it comes. They're about to freak out.
then the doorbell usually rings and it's like the UPS guy just leaving the package. Yeah. Thank you for ringing the doorbell.
That happened like a couple days ago. I hate it so much when anyone rings the doorbell.
Yeah.
Because between like the dogs and the kids and everything, it's just like, it's never worth it. Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. Don't ring my doorbell.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's a comedian who talks about that. I'm going to like dig it up and send it to you. Sebastian Maniscalco, some Italian last name. And he just talks about the difference between when he was a kid and the doorbell would ring and now when the doorbell rings. Who is that?
But it is kind of interesting in this episode. Like, Harriet seems very much not as assertive as she normally is, I guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, in past episodes, it's like she almost was to a fault, where it's like, even when she was like wrong about something, like she really would like be doubling down on it.
Right.
In this episode, she's actually acting very kind of not like that. So sort of a little bit out of character for her.
So here we are. We're on launch day. We're going to do a soft launch.
One battle stations.
That's so funny.
Oh, well,
People are starving. They haven't eaten in weeks. They're like, we need to be there.
How do you like the new restaurant?
It almost sounds like he's mimicking me.
Yeah.
A little bit. Are you mocking me, boy?
Yeah, he is. How do you? This like is what he learns to do from me.
Blah 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 blah.
Restaurant.
Oh, Granny, this sure is fancy, Hester Sue. Reckon I'll look at a menu, see what the grub is.
Well, we don't have menus. We don't need any. We have three meals. We have pan-fried steak, beef stew, and roast chicken.
All right, so all three of those are not bad, right?
Yeah, actually, I think that all sound pretty good.
And I think it's only chocolate cake, which I think is questionable, you know.
Pan fried steak, beef. Pan fried steak, beef stew, and roast. Ernest, it's part of our new efficiency program. You see, you'll always know what you're getting. You know that we're never going to run out. And you also know that we're going to save you some money. You see, it's called the wave of the future.
It's what?
It's what? Yeah, it's
those guys. Her delivery line, though, when she answers him, is like hilarious, I think. When he's like, it's what?
It's what?
It's the wave of the future.
That's a funny clip.
It's the wave of the future.
Oh, well, that sounds all right to me. I reckon I'll have the stew.
Beef stew. Yeah. All right.
Look, everyone's lined up. It's like school.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is like very much a cafeteria kind of feel.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's for couples only, really. I mean, I guess singles as well. Singles or couples, but you can't like.
Well, I guess this is the, yeah, it's the kind of place that made that guy start TGI Fridays, apparently.
Yeah, he was tired of these places.
Yeah.
So Caroline, everybody's saying like, yeah, well, it is very efficient. You know, they're not complaining yet about it, but they, I don't know. What do you think we should play next? Were they counting the money?
Yeah.
That night. Fast-forwarding the whole thing. Sorry.
Oh, by the way, that guy. You don't have to go back, but I just noticed this one guy like ordering something. Mm-hmm. Remember the episode with the black doctor that came to town that we like never see again, yeah, Dr. Ledoux.
Yeah, Dr. I almost had it.
That lady that has the baby and her husband who was like racist and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the restaurant. I just noticed it. I'm like, hey, that's that like racist husband guy.
Wait, where? I got to see it now.
So it was like right after you started that guy right there. Right?
Oh yeah. Wait, I think so.
Isn't that him?
I would have to compare it. The guy right here, right in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I mean,
That's him, right?
I'm gonna screenshot it. Whoa, that's not what I wanted to do. Ah, what am I doing?
Harry, it's in the forest.
My Minecraft. But it is kind of interesting where you do get to see the food. He looked right into the camera. He ruined the shot. Mm-hmm. See that?
Yeah.
Nails.
But it's kind of interesting.
He looks at the camera like, yes, I am the racist husband.
I'm back.
Yeah. I'm back and I'm eating up the new chain.
So the biscuits look a little bit to me, but everything else is all right, you know?
Yeah, the biscuits look like they're not even cooked.
Yeah, they're just, and they're very pale. I don't like that. I will never, ever put a napkin down my shirt like that. Never. I'll put it on my lap.
It is. Yeah. I've never tucked it into my shirt.
Look at this.
Harrison agrees. Yeah. He's like, no, don't do that.
I mean, if you're wearing a fancy thing, like say you're like, you know, wearing a dress or a guy's wearing a tuxedo, maybe. Right. Like you really can't get it dirty, but not if I'm going out to, you know, Mrs. Sullivan's. But yeah, that is like the reddest steak I've ever seen. Like, I feel like that's a 1981 steak. Yeah, you know, that's before chemicals. And
right.
So let's see. They learn, they're counting all their money.
Good night, Carolyn. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Good night.
I wish
Where is Hester Sue living, by the way?
Blind school? Is there a blind school? Yeah. Is there a blind school?
No. She came to work here because of blind school. She couldn't teach there anymore because she didn't have a teaching certificate, remember?
Yeah, I don't know.
So then Caroline totally oversteps and offers her a job without even asking the Olsons first.
Well, she is part, you know, sort of owner.
Yeah, I suppose.
$1.46 Nils. That's the most we've ever made in one day.
I wish they brought Caroline on as a partner on some level. I think that would have made more sense.
Oh, everything that the major said is coming true.
Well, it might pay for the new dishes and the sign.
So he's a kind of a bummer. He's like, well, more money, more problems.
Yeah, basically.
And, you know, Harry is like, we're making money. We get like one of these like funny little scenes. I think he's a cute. This is nice. Charles is rubbing her feet. I don't know what he's doing during the day these days. Like, you would think he would make the stools, but.
Feels so good. Oh, I've never seen so many people.
That's the palest foot I've ever seen in my life. It's like covered in flour or something.
Look at his face.
Yeah, he's like, you're not getting that raise.
$25.
But Harriet Nels were happy.
Like, this foot rub means you're not getting a raise.
Starts tickling her. I'm all right about this.
You can have the raise or a foot rub, but you can't have both.
Starts tickling her. She farts.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about Nels.
Her wig is awful in this, I think. It looks better before. I don't think it looks good here. I mean, if this was her real hair, I wouldn't judge it. But being that it's a wig, I have to judge
it. You're like, you could have done better.
Yeah.
Charles, I have got to lie down.
Same thing with Charles. Bet you wore a wig. That'd be crazy.
Wouldn't that be, like, insane?
Yeah.
I got some soup on the stove. I'm bringing it to you.
He has a wig that's just, like, a hairband. Like, hairband hair. hairband.
He takes off. He's got a line across his forehead.
If any, at least you won't have to work tomorrow.
I forgot to tell you.
What's that?
We're open tomorrow night.
You're going to work on Sunday?
That's the new policy.
Wouldn't this be like one of those things where it's like, well, you know what you said? God understands farmers, and I guess God understands, you know, the women who support their families.
You know, it is kind of weird that Caroline is just so like automatically submissive to it, though, because it has come up before where she's put her foot down, like, I don't work on Sundays, you know, like stuff like that to Harriet. So this, she's just all like, oh, well, it's the policy, so I'm doing it. Like, she's like not even like questioning it really or fighting against it.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's a weird, like, role reversal in this episode.
Well, probably because they adopted so many kids, she's just like, hey, this is like a break.
Like, it kind of is, right?
Yeah, like getting out of the house.
I mean, yeah, do anything to get out of the house. Like, when you have, how many kids are living in this house now? You have 4, 5, 12? How many?
Well, okay, so they have Albert, Carrie, Grace,
James,
Cassandra. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Carrie? Did you say Carrie?
I said Carrie, yeah.
Carrie and Cassandra, who look the same in this episode.
Yeah,
their hair is the same. It's like, who's going to compete for the pigtails? They should have made them wrestle or something like that. Whoever wins gets the contract. Maybe they did.
The pigtail contract.
So let's see.
Harriet, you're a real trooper. I'm mighty proud of you.
Oh.
And Mrs. Sullivan will be too.
Oh,
Oh, did you hear that, Nils? Mrs. Sullivan will be proud of me.
Yes, dear. And the time is not far off, Harriet, when you are going to be a very wealthy woman.
Really?
No doubt about it. Oh. Right up through the ranks. And now we're ready to go to the next stage of our campaign.
Now, this is how you know it is a multiple. What is the exact term for an MLM?
Multi-level marketing.
And it's, I guess you and I, we've discussed them several times, right? And there are ones that are out there that I guess are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a catch. You know, like there's always like kind of like, well, if you want to become a pearl.
Well, there's that. And then also like what I really have a problem with is that they like really kind of take advantage of vulnerable people, you know, like people who are at like vulnerable stages in life, or like they take advantage of people, basically, maybe out of people who are maybe a little desperate for things or.
Yeah, like, you know, when just, I was 19 and I joined Amway with my friend because we didn't know any better. And it was
trash. Right. It's like they basically, like, you know, take advantage of people, you know, for their own.
Yeah. Just so that they can get their, like, $100 membership sign up thing.
Right. So stuff like that, like, on principle, I'm opposed to.
Yeah. And they make like really huge promises, and there's no guarantee with any investment, of course. Unless it's Dogecoin, of course, Dogecoin to the moon. I think we dropped about 60% in the past 2 months, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Still going to the moon.
Phase two. Yes, that's right. In phase two, we go into continuous operation.
His mustache, I think, is a little bit uneven. I think on his right, it seems a little longer.
It does, yeah.
The restaurant will stay open from breakfast all day right through supper.
All day?
What for? For the increased profits, of course. Consider the possibilities. We educate the troops and their stomachs to know that at any time of the day, be it 10 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon, Mrs. Sullivan is ready.
This guy's on ketamine, I think. This guy's like, look at him. He's like mething out right here.
We'll be ready to fill them up and get them marching again. Before 11, scrambled eggs and pancakes. After 11, steak, stew, and chicken.
And chicken.
Steak and a stool and chicken.
This guy's so animated. Like, he just looks like he should be a cartoon character, like working at a circus.
Actually, he seems very cartoonish. I agree.
I mean, this guy brings so much color to the episode. Like, if you chose, like, somebody more snooty, I'm forgetting the name of the guy in the last few episodes. Do you know who I'm talking about? Also Mr. British
Montague?
Guy. Yeah, Montague.
Mr. Montague, yeah.
If you were to bring him into this, it would crush it. It would just be awful, I think. You need somebody who's, you know, colorful and...
like, yeah.
Flamboyant.
Well, I mean, he's like comically cartoonish.
Yeah. I think he pulls it off. Nels is just like, this is the worst. He's like, what did my wife get me into? This is worse than when she spent all her money on stocks.
Yeah.
Full time. I beg your pardon? It's too much work as it is. We got into this in the first place because you said it would run itself. But look at the money you're making, and you're just beginning. The future is boundless. You're going to be generals in Mrs. Sullivan's army.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't understand why they don't just... I mean, all right, we need the episode to play out a certain way. But why doesn't Harry just hire more people?
Hmm. You know? Who's she gonna hire?
Albert, you bust.
They're all eating at the restaurant.
It's true.
They're all customers. They can't be employees.
You gotta bring in Chinese people, you know, like from the when they're making the.
This episode takes an interesting twist. When she starts like bussing in foreigners to work at the restaurant.
There you go. Well, we're gonna bring in Canadians. Actually, I mean, if they can manage to get to Colorado, they can they can bring people in from Mexico. It's only 45 minutes away from Colorado Springs, as you know. So, yeah, I mean, basically, he's like, we want out. And then this, the major's like, well, major's dressed pretty nice the whole time, right?
Yeah. He has a really nice, like, ascot thing on.
Yeah, he had a tie pin in before.
Article 9, paragraph 7.
I feel like he should have a pipe. I think that would really complete the entire look.
All policy decisions.
Maybe even a monocle.
Ooh, I could see a monocle. Although that kind of seems more like a Mr. Montague thing, yeah, to be honest.
You have to be, like, really loaded, right?
Are up to the parent company. And it's standard policy for Mrs. Sullivan's kitchens to be open all day. I'm afraid you're going to have to follow orders, Nels.
Really? And if we don't?
I don't want you ever to go against an order I give you.
I gotta find that right now.
I don't want you ever, ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Oh, your thing vanished again. I'll fix it. But I wanted to go back to show you Nels's eyebrow. See how it's like.
He has magnificent eyebrows.
Yeah. I think he was hired basically on his eyebrow merit. I definitely think that Michael Landon had an eyebrow fetish.
Mm. Right? I don't understand how he found so many people with these like foot-long eyebrows.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I found a couple of really long eyebrows on mine, and I actually bought this like little scissor thing.
Right, to trim them up.
Yeah, so I trimmed mine up. I'm like, I don't want that. Nobody even noticed. Why would you? It's one of those things I think only when you have bushy eyebrows do you really notice.
Yeah.
All right, so we're back in the little house. Well, not back in. We're in the little house for the very first time, and the kids are just kind of arguing and complaining.
I did the cooking last night. I'm not doing it again tonight.
Me neither. All you cooked were the potatoes. I did everything else. I'm not cooking anything tonight. Me.
Anything.
Neither. That was night before last I did the potatoes. Last night I did everything.
Whoa, 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 you two. What's going on?
Whoa.
Ever since Mom's been so busy at the restaurant.
You know, he sounds like he's, like, coming in from, like, being in the barn, like, having a little bit of a
cocaine.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Last night I did everything.
Whoa, you two.
What? Sorry, it's okay.
I'm trying to remember how to... There we go.
Whoa, you two. What's going on here?
Wait. I have to figure out. All right.
Ever since Mom's been so busy at the restaurant, I've been doing all the cooking. It's Albert's turn.
I've done more than you and you know it.
And let's not start this ruckus again. It seems to me that I have done the lion's share of the cooking this week. I mean, with breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, at least your food's fit to eat. His isn't.
I told you not to start it again. I think I've got an idea.
So Charles's idea is basically he's going to do all the cooking. If anybody complains, they have to do the cooking. And he thinks that he's figured it out. But the problem is that face is so funny.
Grace, we got him. From now on, they're going to do all the cooking.
That's kind of funny the way that she reacts, and it's kind of like a cute little moment between them.
What is this? She's coloring. How funny would it be if it was like, I don't know, like...
It looks like too much of a modern coloring book.
Like, that looks like a...
Like, that's totally like... That's totally like a modern coloring book that they gave her to like make her sit there.
Yeah, I won
to film the scene, you know.
I think it would be crazy if it was like a Smurf or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Smurf.
It's like a Charlie Brown like
coloring book. I'm trying to think of what would be period. Like what would be period correct? I guess Charlie Brown would be a good one. But this one just it's a random animal. Kind of funny. So Charles makes this kind of gruel. And It's kind of funny. It's a funny visual scene where everyone's just kind of eating and nobody's complaining about it because nobody wants to be responsible for cooking.
Here, get some. I think I'll have seconds.
Seconds? I hope I made enough. Listen to this. Huh?
It's got to be so bad. It's like as they're eating it, like they're choking it down and drinking milk with it. And it's a funny little moment. Her bangs are really crooked. Cute little girl, cut, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Definitely a cute little girl. Let's see. This is kind of a gross little scene, but I thought this was kind of funny too. James goes outside to kind of dump in this barrel. I don't know where, like, what is this barrel?
Like, is this the garbage? Trash barrel, I guess?
I've never noticed them having a trash barrel. But he takes it out of his pocket, and it's just a fistful of muck. It's just so nasty. And Albert comes out to do the same thing. Albert pulls out, like, a raw piece of chicken or something. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like Paul was trying to give them salvadola or something.
Yeah, it's kind of just crazy. So clearly things are not really working out so great at home because Caroline is so busy cooking food for other people. Caroline decides that maybe it's time for her to do what you do on a daily basis with the podcast and quit.
I quit.
You know something, Caroline, we just started and I'm tired already.
We can't keep working these hours. Now I am.
Orders, orders, orders. The troops are starving. Isn't it wonderful? We're just so busy, 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 busy.
Harriet, I'm glad things are going so well for
yes,
you.
Yes, it's just exactly the way Major Guffey promised it.
I have to talk to you.
All right, what is it, Caroline?
The job. I can't handle it. I'm here all day. I stay late. I'm worn out when I get home in the evening. I never even see my...
The little pin is kind of funny. I don't know exactly what it says. It says Mrs. Sullivan and three worders. And
Is it Mrs. Sullivan's army? Does it say army or is it just...
That would be funny. Hello.
Family. I don't want to put you in a tight spot, but I have to give my notice.
I quit.
Oh. Oh, please, please, Caroline, please, I beg you. I beg you, don't leave me. I can't do it all alone.
I'm sorry, but
Nels, I have to do it. I have to prove to Nels that I can do it.
I don't
want to. That's it, it's over.
I don't want to make things hard for you, but I...
Money. I'll give you more money.
No, it isn't money. It's my time.
Oh, no, I'll give you a percentage of the take.
That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
No, Harriet, it is.
No. No. Like, an Ingalls turning down money. It's insane.
It's crazy, right?
Like, you know, she's offering you a percentage, right? Then you just go, all right, look, we're going to hire Laura. Like, we're going to bring people in, and I'm going to, like, sit at home and make money. Like, I don't understand. It's kind of, but she's still, I mean, Caroline is not willing to, like, just abandon Harriet, which I think is nice. You write that in your notes as well.
Yeah, where it's, like, Harriet's actually being pretty, like, I think considerate towards her in this episode, and she's kind of interestingly loyal to Harriet.
So then we learn about phase four. I mean, say phase three.
Phase three?
Our top-notch battle plan. This is your opportunity to become part of a business that is always expanding.
Now, this is where people need to listen. This is where I think genuinely, you know, you're likely not part of a legitimate business if... Mm-hmm. The thing that you're about to invest in has these kind of, if the explanation aligns with this on any level.
Well, I don't know.
All you have to do is talk to your friends, your relatives, persuade just two of them to take out their own franchises on Mrs. Sullivan's kitchens in their own communities, and you will supervise the operation.
Well,
How can I do that?
Eventually, those two will persuade two more, and before you know it, we'll have an army of Mrs. Sullivan's kitchens all over Hero Township.
Well, Major Guffey, I can hardly get away from the restaurant now.
You have Caroline in the back just like filling up the salt shakers or maybe sugar. I don't know.
It's funny when she's like, well, how do I do that? It's like, well, you add people that you haven't talked to for decades as friends on Facebook, and then you send them messages that are these total like copy paste templates to try to recruit them to get in on your little scheme.
It's kind of like, hey, Kelly, how you doing? Or it's, you know, it has like the same type of thing. And it's like, well, I have these supplements and I just lost 181 pounds. would you be interested in like checking it out? It's, you know, 100% free. It's a supplement. You know,
yeah.
No obligation, no pressure. Yeah, it's like you get these like weird things. Like people, like,
no pressure, then why are you pressuring me?
Block.
Yeah.
If I have that to do, I mean, I don't exactly know how I can do all of this. It's terrific.
It's like, well, I'm just like thinking of scenarios where it's like, you know, Jim reaches out to you to see if you're interested in like his Shackley vitamin supplement business. And it's like, well, I haven't really spoken to you since fourth grade, but
yeah,
how right, you been
exactly.
Since you moved? I haven't spoken to you since you moved to like Denver. In the fourth grade.
You remember Colorado?
Denver's a big place.
Yeah, haven't talked to you since you remembered Colorado.
I have to dig up. Before I find out, just play a little bit of Dumb Abel.
My letter is T.
I'll expect those two names when I call by next week. Good.
You remember Colorado?
It is.
Good day.
We're going to rest here for a day.
Still one of my favorites. I'm going to rest here for a day.
That's swagger.
I want to go back and I want it to be like longer where it's like, I want to rest here for a day.
And it's like slow, do like a half speed on the day.
Yeah.
We're going to rest here for a day.
Yeah, we have to go back. There has to be a lot of Dr. Quinn redos.
I mean, we're talking about stuff we did like 3 years ago at this point.
I'm almost inclined that we should even review the first five episodes of Dr. Quinn cast, like us listening to ourselves.
That'd be
kind of meta right there. That'd be kind of a strange
reality. reviewing our own episodes.
He's like, bah, 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 bah. This is me on Thanksgiving, just tasting everything, being totally stuffed by the time it's time to eat dinner. So Charles is trying the food. He's getting really frustrated. He's like really had enough. He's like, forget this. We're out of here. We're going to White Castle.
What are we gonna have?
Pan fried steak, roast chicken, beef stew, anything. Come on, get your coat.
Sliders. We're gonna have some sliders at White Castle.
That'd be awesome. Get a sack. now I want White Castle. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, you ever see the way they make the White Castle?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
You know those flat grills? People seem to like really like these things. Instead of They basically they have the frozen patties and they put like 80 of them on there at one time, and they basically steam them. I think it's beef and lamb. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. Lamb was in it.
I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's beef and something. I don't think it's pork.
Sounds like Euro. Has Euro vibes.
I like Euros. I haven't had a good one. I do. Do you like Greek food?
I love Euros.
I love going to a good Greek restaurant and get some real hummus, a gyro, or I remember I went to, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Last time I was in Philadelphia, I ordered food and I ordered a meatball hero. And I was expecting a meatball hero, not a gyro. They brought me a gyro. I'm just going to call it a gyro with meatballs on it.
Oh, really? Wow.
Which was not that good.
Not what you expected.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this?
Did you eat it? Was it good?
I still ate it. I mean, it's still edible.
Yeah.
It had marinara sauce in it. Oh. So I was like, that didn't make a lot of sense. But the person did say, are you sure about that? I'm like, yeah, meatball hero. Let's see. So Nels is serving up food in the house. I like this little china closet they have. I'm surprised they're not wallpapered in here. Is this the dining room?
Yeah, it has like, I guess, wood paneling on the wall or something.
So let's see. Nels is, you know, he's giving them food and everybody's just really frustrated with all the scenarios that the restaurant has brought to the table.
It's kind of inconsistent here that Nels is sick of cooking though, because like he loved cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
We even learned that like in the episode when he like went on the road and met that Molly person. When he complained about cooking, but then he's like, oh, I cook because I love it at the end. Like he's like, I love cooking, that's why I do it. So it's like he loves cooking. Yeah, here we have him being all like fed up that he has to feed the family.
Nels will never be happy, you know?
Yeah.
He's still trying to deal with the fact that he was, you know, so angry at his sister for being overweight. And
he has a complicated relationship with food.
He does. He really does. Yeah. He loves and loves and loves to cook, but at the same time, it, you know, it's his downfall. It's his biggest fear is to gain the weight.
Charles!
Nels, good evening.
What are you doing here?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Nels, you want to tell Charles to maybe take his hat off? You're inside. What, did you grow up on a farm?
Are you tired of working all day and cooking all night?
Charles, are you Jewish now?
No, okay, so that sounds like the beginning of an MLM pitch.
Wait.
Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of working all day and cooking all night?
That's totally. Because I know I am.
I sure am.
Well, so am I. I think it's time we did something about it.
And today, for only $154. You can walk out with your starter kit.
Yeah.
What?
Nels, my friend, that is why I'm here.
That's exactly, that whole thing is a pitch.
Yeah, that is totally a pitch.
That's really funny. All right, so we wake up Caroline, we let her sleep in a little bit, which is, I think, the least he can do.
Mm-hmm.
She wakes up, she's like, oh my god, you guys don't know how to make scrambled eggs. The whole place is just kind of running. I mean, the household is being held together. You don't really need Caroline to be as like and that's why she holds a job.
And I mean, the kids are pretty much, except I mean, like Grace is, you know, not really probably doing any chores yet, but the rest of the kids are old enough that they're obviously able to do chores and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Charles didn't let Caroline in on this situation.
Mm.
So let's see. I also don't know why. All right. So in this scene, we have the kids running around because the deal was, is that Charles is going to drop the kids off at the restaurant while he goes and he has something to do. Because he has to work late.
Well, just stop running in here.
They keep chasing me.
I'm not chasing you.
Well, just stop running.
Now, why are they even indoors? Like, tell them to go play outside. I don't really understand. True. And where's like right, Nancy like, and the other kids? Or Willie? And I really think that not having Almanzo and Laura in this is really strange. Because we had Almanzo in one little scene and then that's it.
Yeah. And when you could even visualize a scene where like Laura is kind of like lecturing Ma about how like, oh, you're working too hard. Mm-hmm. I can see you're tired. Like, you know, stuff like that.
And this is where Cassandra and Carrie have the same exact hairstyle. It's kind of silly. And even practically the same dress. No, I'm the new Laura.
Yeah. It's like, are we supposed to believe that Ma is just braiding their hair? Cause she's like, it's all I know.
That's all I know. It's like when I tried something else, I ended up with dreadlocks.
Yeah. The world is a vampire. That's like totally unrelated.
Where is that?
It's just fun to throw in.
The world is a vampire.
Wait, you know what? I wonder if that would work out here.
I'm not chasing you.
Well, just stop running.
The world is a vampire.
I was hoping they would continue running around.
He said he had to work. Children in the kitchen.
Hey, that's the guy who was sitting next to Mrs. Foster.
Isn't it? Maybe.
What the hell is going on here?
He's cheating on Mrs. Foster.
with this old biddy.
We're uncovering affairs in Walnut Grove.
Yeah. He has an eye for Harriet, too. Look at this.
Yeah.
You want a tip? What?
What is that?
Like, boop, 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 boop.
He's like bringing all these women in. Like, have you heard of this band, The Smashing Pumpkins?
The world is a vampire.
These old people show up and they're like, we can't wait to have some of Caroline's food.
Get back from your trip back east.
We figured a month was long enough to be gone.
That's about as long as I could do without.
Look at that eyebrow.
Yeah, this guy's eyebrows are incredible.
Like, he makes the most in this entire episode just because of those eyebrows.
He might use a curling iron on them, actually. Holy to get cow. That uplift. It's crazy.
Some of Caroline's lemon meringue pie. Oh. We stopped here right on our way from the stage so I can get some.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, but we don't serve Caroline's lemon meringue pie anymore. No, you see, we've changed the whole thing, and now we have Mrs. Sullivan's very own delicious chocolate cake. Everyone loves it.
No lemon meringue pie?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Maybe we could try that new restaurant across the street. They might have some.
All right, so we learned that there's a restaurant across the street called...
Are the old people in on it? Or, like, did they just notice the new restaurant? You know, like, did Charles get them in on the plan to go in and, like, ask for that and then be like, oh, I'm going to go, like, across the street?
Hey, you want to earn a piece of pie?
Yeah.
Hey, is that Kezia's place over here? See the burned down shack?
Yeah, maybe. Wait, where is Kezia? What happened to her?
Kezia's just gone.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise in this town. The Barbuda tribe. The Barbuda. Right?
Go to prairiereview.com. Yeah. So Olson's restaurant, she didn't notice.
It's actually a pretty decent sign made for it.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think it's good. It's right to the point. Charles probably did that. Now, Charles does some of the worst violin faking I've ever seen in my life. It works out, but he keeps, like, fingering, and it's like.
Yeah, he is always just, he takes his hand and does kind of, like, the same motion repeatedly, like always when he's faking it.
Yeah,
it's like, just obviously fake,
which is why we have to replace the music with
which is why I can't believe that I was shocked when I learned that he wasn't playing it for real.
Well,
but
I think he actually recorded it.
Who was that even that like was like he's not really playing it,
you know? Okay,
I can't believe it. What
what an idiot. If you're listening to the show, give us 5 stars. All right.
Yeah.
It's a warm gun.
Happiness. Is a warm gun. Lunch.
How'd they get the rights to play that song?
Furniture. And where is my
Charles
husband?
Can do anything.
Look at his face. He's like, I'm going to play Eruption from Van Halen. No.
Yeah.
The world is a vampire.
That was good.
It's similar, right? All right, so I'll just play this. Look at his face.
Yeah, he makes the most hilarious facial expressions.
The furniture's upstairs. We needed some more room. Your husband's in the kitchen cooking. Shh, people are eating.
Don't you shush me.
It's amazing that he shushes when he's just walking around, you know?
Yeah, it's
playing
really...
his
face. So, Charles, I mean, we have turkey. Nels has turkey, and it's like a Thanksgiving meal. It's like cranberries, biscuits. What else is he putting on that plate? Is he putting like green beans? It is like a Thanksgiving type of meal.
Yeah, basically. It looks pretty tasty.
So he doesn't let Harriet in on this either, which, you know, maybe there's the old folks. It would have been good if they had a piece of lemon meringue pie, in my opinion, but... She just harumphs. So Charles is just playing fiddle all day? Like, that's it?
Yeah, like he's just working real hard at playing fiddle. I actually think that it's sort of unfair that Nels is doing all the cooking and then he's just walking around like...
And why wouldn't they have, like, Albert and James helping out? But I think that that would be... It's not like they're in school, we don't think.
Right. Well, yeah. I guess we've seen no evidence, really, of what they're doing.
Yeah. So, Caroline is like, what the hell's going on?
Feed the star.
Charles, I have to talk to you.
What about?
What about? About the restaurant, of course. I didn't want to say anything in front of the children.
Carolyn, if Nels wants to open up a restaurant, I think this is...
I didn't want to say anything in front of the children, and there's no way that they can hear us in this one-room house right now.
Hi, Pa! Then when he walks in, it's like Cheers with Norm.
Yeah.
I mean, this is essentially like a garage that they live in, mm-hmm. like the size of like a garage.
Just hurry, Harriet.
My darling, here's a copy of the contract that Harriet signed with Major Guffey. Just take a look at Article 12, Paragraph 2.
So they found this little loophole.
Trust me.
Trust me, crack. Let's see. Harriet gives like her speech. She's really annoyed, which I can't blame her. She's not in on it. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. Which, why do you think they didn't let her in on it?
What I was kind of wondering if they were going to mention something, but they never did, about like, well, we have to make sure that you had no idea about it legally or something like that.
Nels. I have something that I want to say to you, and when I'm finished, then you may reply. What you are doing is the cruelest thing you have ever done, and I want you to know that you will be sorry, and you will get nowhere with your restaurant. I will fight you tooth and nail.
Now, I know she has makeup on and everything, but Catherine McGregor has pretty good skin for her age.
Yeah, she does look good.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
You're not just attacking me, Nels.
I mean, I don't know how old she is here, but I'm going to guess in her, like, maybe late 50s.
Yeah, I would guess 50s.
Mid-50s.
Yeah.
You're attacking Mrs. Sullivan's army.
Are you through?
Yes.
Well, in reply, I would like to...
shut up!
That's awesome. shut up! So she's trying to give away meals. They have the early bird special, you know, for all of the snowbirds.
Right.
It's like the Seinfeld thing with the early bird special. It's like, I'm not going to eat dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon. I can see myself doing early bird specials because I'm like, hey, you know, I'll do it. Sure.
I mean, I would need like a snack or a small meal later if I ate that early.
Well, that's why you take leftovers. Can you wrap up the bread on the table? It says late lunch or siesta. It says, ooh, they're getting. And Olson's is selling 3 dinners for the price of 1. I mean, how do you beat that?
Their sign is not as good, though. Yeah, original sign is good. That sign is not very good.
Yeah, that's just, like, thrown on there. Yeah, I like the whole, like, the way Early Bird is written in Siesta. I think it's a siesta snack, maybe. Maybe that's what you would need. Late night siesta snack. Siesta snack. And I guess all of this is happening in the Olsen's parlor, right? Which is really big.
Right. But they get all the tables and everything. Are these just the tables they had in the restaurant?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, they got that fern. When we put together our collection of thoughts that we were discussing before, I might just have to, like, keep a fern count. These are so 70s to me. The ropes.
Yeah, the little, like, tassel thingy. Yeah.
And Mrs. Sullivan's kitchen is just, you know, ghost town. Even Carrie's bored. What is this that she's holding?
It's a medicine ball.
It's like one of those like bladders from like the like Little House in the Big Woods or something. It does look like a medicine ball. How depressing these kids had to go play around with like reproductions of 1800s toys. They couldn't play, you know, the digital games of the early 80s. That one guy is the customer, which I think is really hilarious. They're all like, just like, business is dead. This guy's great. I think he's pretty funny.
Isn't it good, Ernest?
Oh, yeah. Best roast lamb I ever ate.
Ow! Oh. It's...
Ow! He's like...
Great.
Ow! It's pan fried steak.
Pan fried? Huh? Oh, oh well, don't make much difference.
It looks good. I mean, I think I just didn't eat dinner, like, yet. I'm going to eat a very late dinner tonight.
Yeah.
So. To me, one way or another, no more. I ain't tasted nothing for 5 years, ever since that thrasher ran over my neck.
Deaf as a post, and again, taste anything.
Perfect customer. All right, so Major comes in.
Sounds like a strategic maneuver. Have you suffered heavy losses?
Here are the receipts.
Sounds like the game of Risk.
This is disastrous. Have you dispersed the troops?
Oh, Major Guffey, I don't know what you're talking about most of the time.
So that is another great line.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's like our podcasters. Yeah. If you just like pop into our podcast and you're hearing things like, you know.
Yeah. And we go to
get high. You just like, what are you talking about?
It's cocaine.
You're just not really sure what's going on, or yes, lady.
Yes, lady.
Yeah. It's kind of like, that's exactly what our podcast listeners sometimes say.
What you're talking about.
Oh, wait.
This is disastrous. Have you dispersed the troops?
Oh, Major Guffey, I don't know what you're talking about most of the time.
Have you established new franchises yet?
But I guarantee it only takes 3 episodes.
And then you get into the jokes and stuff. And then once you're into it, you're into it, which I think Dr. Quincast is proof of that.
Yeah.
We have quite the community of inside jokes going there.
Yes, lady. I establish any franchises when I'm trying to save this restaurant.
I knew it was a mistake to let a woman command a post.
Well, Mrs. Sullivan's a woman and she commands the whole thing.
There's no such person as Mrs. Sullivan. We picked that old lady off the streets of Chicago and paid her $2 to pose for the picture.
There's no Mrs. Sullivan.
Company is run by men, the way it should be. Article 12, paragraph 2, franchise is revocable at any time at the discretion of the supervisor.
I'm quitting. Quitting is not an option.
You have disgraced us, Mrs. Olsen. I'm drumming you out of the ranks. By tomorrow, pick up the sign.
I like that part. Come by tomorrow to pick up the sign.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she... Oh yeah, we get a good shot of. Yeah, I still have no idea what it says. It's just blurry. Playing taps in the background. And his whole, like, the way he salutes is like Benny Hill or something like that. Like, he doesn't. Or is that, that's not an accurate way of saluting back then, is it?
Wait, go back and play it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they saluted like that.
It just seems, it seems goofy. Like, it seems like it's just a little too up. So she feels like a failure. She goes over and she's like all upset and runs in and tells Nels.
It's all your fault. You ruined everything. And now the major just tore up the contract.
Yes, I know. It was wonderful.
Harrison's hilarious.
You mean, isn't it wonderful?
Well, now we can forget all about Mrs. Sullivan's kitchen. The people of Walnut Grove made it very clear what kind of food they want. Home cooking. A family restaurant, the way you used to do it.
Well, you've got all the business here.
Not after tonight. We're closing. We just did it so you could get out of your contract. It was Charles's idea.
Oh, Nels! Oh, you're wonderful!
Oh, I know. I know.
His eyebrows are really showing there a little bit. So let's see. We this is where we get the little zinger.
Morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
You in charge here?
Yes, my husband and I are.
I wondered if I could interest you in a business proposition.
A business proposition?
I'm opening a number of restaurants which will devote themselves to just one meal. The most succulent, delicious, appetizing fried chicken that ever passed your lips.
One meal? Just fried chicken?
Something I said?
No. No, I'm sorry. But you see, we tried to make a go of the restaurant by just serving three meals. So I can't quite see somebody coming to a restaurant for only one meal. Fried chicken.
Oh. I'm sorry you're not interested. Frankly, I think it's the wave of the future.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I think you're wasting your time.
I think this is the first time that we've had the name of the episode said twice.
They said it, yeah. So I was just looking at the list I was looking at to see the year for KFC, because it was on here. Was it like in the 50s, I think?
Yeah, I think you said it was in the 50s. Yeah,
1952. So it's like crazy. I mean, he's like an old man already. Yeah. I mean, just this like whole thing. And I know it's something that people point out a lot with this episode. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. It's just one of those ridiculous things.
Well, also, the real Colonel Sanders was born in 1890. So he wasn't even. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. But and actually, it's pretty funny for him to be like, oh, this is like the wave of the future. Well, like, in a way, he's kind of right, because there are so many, like, you know, chain restaurants and, you know, like chain fast food restaurants specifically.
Yeah.
But before KFC was established, there were already a number chain restaurant. I mean, it's like, so for him to be like the one that they picked to be like, oh, this is like the wave of the future, is kind of funny, because it's like not like he invented it. Like, he just sort of was like.
But do you, do wonder is, like, I'm not really sure about this, but like with White Castle, I think White Castle sold hamburgers and other things, you know, like French fries and stuff. I'm pretty sure KFC literally just sold fried chicken and a few sides. So I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Like, maybe the idea of having just like the one thing is the way, but maybe that's what he meant, I guess.
Or just franchise. But this is what's weird is the real Colonel Harlan David Sanders, he died almost a year before this episode aired. He died on December 16th, 1980, at the age of 90. He almost got that letter from the president, but.
Right, but he didn't.
Yeah, Reagan. I guess Reagan would have been president at that point. Actually, I'm not sure. That might have been Carter. Until January of that year. No, I don't know. I'm bad with this. I'm bad with like the years the presidents were. But yeah, it's kind of, I like that it was like, it paid a little bit of an homage to him, but every photo I see of Colonel Sanders, he doesn't have like the twisty mustache either. So right. I don't know what that's all about. He's like kind of like a cool bartender or something. Mm-hmm. He's like the guy who owns the record store down the street.
Yeah.
It's like the new release from Jack White's Third Man record.
He's trying to like upsell you some incense with it.
Yeah. A little knock champa, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that brings us to an end. Thank you very much, people, for listening. Head over to LandonNation.com, but look up LandonNation on Facebook, especially. But you know, this also is playing on WannaGroveCast, which is a .com, but Prairie Review is really where you want to go if you want to read about like really funny parodies of these type of things. And they're all written by, our very own Kelly. You might've heard of her. She's right there.
It's a me.
It's like you're all of a sudden like Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Super Kelly Brothers. it's a me. it's like you're Italian all of a sudden. You better go off the adult, Brian.
My sausage and peppers.
Sausage and peppers. And Dr. Quincast, if you like our banter, you're gonna love our banter over at Dr. Quincast, which is about Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And we have a lot of stuff that we're prepping. We've not done any of it yet, but we have a lot of stuff.
Things are in the works.
Yeah, things in the works. Things in the works, you know.
Yeah.
And hopefully we just
forget about it. Not for nothing.
It's like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do it.
You can't just.
Yeah. So one more funny little Dr. Quinn one.
Baby's booty.
I don't know why I find that one so funny. And maybe even a little bit of inspirational from Jake.
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
That's the name of, that should be the title of a song from Jack White.
I would love it.
Yeah. One day. But Kelly, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Harrison, thank you so much for popping on and
for his input.
Putting your input. He did sound like he was mocking me before, so
yeah.
Didn't really appreciate that so much.
The kid's got an attitude, but what do you expect? I'm raising him.
Little friggin' snotty kid.
Yeah.